I'm the animal care director.
Okay. Animal care director for the borough.
Correct.
Okay. So let's, how long have you been doing that?
I'm fairly new. I just started about 3 months ago.
Oh, well, you have fresh eyes then.
I do, yes. And I'm just delighted to be in the borough and very proud to be at the animal shelter. It's something that is obviously well taken care of, and so I feel like I walked into a really good environment.
Okay. So had you had previous experience in this particular kind of service?
No, actually, I've got management experience predominantly. I've never worked in an animal shelter before. I did have some experience working at the Sea Life Center for several years, and so it's similar, but certainly different.
Okay, and absolutely. I've been down to the Sea Life Center. It's a wonderful facility, and so you're here in the borough, and tell us a little bit more about the center itself. We can get into the specifics of how it works and what's happening, et cetera. Those who have been out in the area, many people go to the recycling center, know that the animal shelter, the facility, is just to the left there. How would you describe that place?
The facility itself?
Yes.
Well, it's a relatively new facility. It's a substantial size for an animal shelter, and it's actually a beautiful facility. It houses approximately about 300 animals per month, between dogs, cats, rabbits. We have several rats at the moment.
Oh.
And turtles and some other I guess, farm animals on occasion. We have had geese and roosters and on occasion even horses and cows. So any domestic animals.
Okay. My mind is struggling to expand because when I think animal shelter, of course, very often I think dogs, cats. Mm-hmm. And since I have been out there, I have seen rabbits and a few things, but how do roosters get to the animal shelter? How do
Well, part of the Animal Care and Regulation Division is comprised of the regulatory department. So there's four officers that are, you know, looking out for public safety. So there's a lot of animals that get on the roads or the highways, and we respond to trooper calls. When anyone gets in an accident, has an animal in their vehicle, we respond to those. So most of the domestic animals, like the chickens and the geese, and the cows and the horses, are loose and potentially creating a public, either a nuisance or a safety hazard on the roads.
Okay, that makes sense. I can follow that. So, although the facility that you have is, when I've been there, it's pretty straightforward. You have a good welcoming area, and yet it isn't. The design has to be able to be flexible enough to accommodate for a variety of different numbers and animals and so on. How easy is that to do? If you're forward and you're dealing with dogs and cats, that's one thing. But then you have to be somewhat creative, I think, to do the rest of it.
Yes, I completely agree. And I think the staff is incredibly flexible in trying to make space and create a good environment for any animal that potentially comes in the door. There's no predicting what's coming in. It's kind of amusing because, you know, we might get a goose one day and a horse the next. And we, I think, have a fairly large facility, so we are not at our capacity. It has reached that capacity. Rarely, but for the most part, there's room in the back that we have some stables and barns areas that we can house larger animals.
Okay.
And we also have some outside areas that we can kind of reconfigure for different animals. So I think, do a pretty good job of remaining flexible and creating good space for any animals that come in.
So when you talk about the staff, how many people are involved in running the place?
22.
Whoa, wow.
Mm-hmm, fairly good size, but four of those are officers, two are dispatchers that take in calls for animals that are out in the borough. And for the size of the borough, four officers is very lean if you think about the borough the size of Ireland.
Right.
So they are doing their best to respond to the highest needs and certainly can't respond to everything just by the nature of only having four officers. But they do a great job.
Okay. Now, do you have also volunteers that help in the place?
Yes, and that is a critical function. Honestly, I don't know how we'd function without our volunteers. There's at least 100 volunteers per month, active volunteers, and there's several hundred that are active but may not come in, you know, every month. So they are fantastic. They help with the laundry. They help with cleaning. They help, you know, just take care of the animals in the sense that they walk them, they play ball with the dog, they cuddle the kittens, and it's really an important part of the operation. It just would be very difficult to function without their assistance.
Okay. So we have a I'm getting the picture. I've seen the facility. We know where it is. Heading to either the landfill or recycling center, head off to the recycling center. There it is. How, and obviously the care for, the animals in your as a 24-hour operation, how open are you to the public in terms of, the other aspect in addition to, bringing animals to the animal shelter? There are people who come there because a great part of your operation, as I understand, involves adoption.
Yes. We are open Tuesday through Saturday to the public.
Okay.
11 to 6. And we are closed Sunday and Monday to the public. But we are, as you said, a 24/7 operation. We have to feed the animals and clean the animals every day. So we are open for adoption during the public hours and also for people to come in and retrieve their animals that run loose and the officers bring in or the public bring in because they're concerned about them being hit by a car or being
sure.
Hungry or thirsty or whatever their concerns are. So we have only a very large public presence in that facility. It's a busy place, and I think that's fantastic. Some people come in, you know, to adopt, obviously, every day, but we also have people that just come in to observe the animals and let the kids come in just because they love to be there, and they want to see what new creatures have come in. And so we're a very busy place, and we have lots of wonderful people that are adopting pets every day.
Okay, so let's walk through the adoption process. Say someone comes through the door; they're interested in it's the standard approach. Put the rooster aside for a moment, and think about interest in adding a dog to their home. What do they do? How do they make that happen?
So often they want to observe the animal, and we encourage that. The shelter staff are intimately familiar with the animal's behaviors, and sometimes animals are owner surrendered and may have issues with, you know, some may not like other animals or they may not be good with kids. And we have a pretty thorough log of all the animals that, to the best of our ability, to be able to provide that information to anyone that's interested in any particular animal that they're considering. We have two rooms that are set up for potential adoptees to play with the animals, to get an opportunity to have a one-on-one interaction. Those two rooms can also be used for people to bring in their other dog, for instance, to introduce to a new dog.
Okay.
And it's really important that people don't race in just to get the cutest animal, that they really understand the animal's disposition and know what they're getting themselves into, because ultimately we want to, you know, find a good fit for each pet and that it's a long-lasting, you know, lifetime relationship. So the shelter staff are available and volunteers to help handle the dogs and cats, to help work with the potential adoptee and explain the disposition of the animal and give them an opportunity to really assess whether or not that's the right fit for them. So after they get that introduction, and if it's a good fit, it's fairly easy. They have to have your driver's license. You, our customer service desk has several forms that they have to fill out, and you get a little adoption package with a discount for several vets in town, for some of the animal feed stores have some discounts for adopted animals, and it takes about 15 minutes generally for the adoption process. We do have limited staff, so sometimes there is a wait just because there's other people adopting in front of you, so we ask for people to be as patient as they can, but ultimately it only takes about 15 minutes to actually go through the adoption process.
So I'm guessing there also are different times of the year. You're coming up to a holiday time, perhaps looking at the records, or you've been there a short time, but do you have any sense of the busier times of the year for the shelters of taking animals in and all adoptions?
Yeah, since I've only been there 3 months, I don't have a solid sense on that, although I have been told that the holiday season is busy. I think our busiest days of the week are Tuesdays and Sundays.
Okay.
And Tuesdays, because we're closed on Sunday and Monday, so a lot of people come in that have lost their pet and or the animals on Tuesdays.
Sure.
And Saturdays are particularly busy, because that's when a lot of people have a day off and they're looking either to adopt or to just enjoy being at the shelter. So we are very busy those days. As far as holidays, I think that Christmas, I've been told, is fairly busy. People do like to get pets for Christmas presents, and I think we have a fairly substantial Halloween present, because we have a pretty magnificent haunted house that's been going on for several years.
Okay.
Brings in a lot of revenue for the facility, and helps us to buy necessary items for the animals to help their well-being. So as far as the busy seasons, I think that's as far as I can expand on that.
Sure,
I am
sure.
So,
understand.
So new.
Well, another question I have deals with, we know where the facility is. I know that at times I have, we've been in a situation where we were looking to add another dog to our home. It was always a question of how do we know what dogs are going to be at the center, for example, and how do you, other than having someone drive out and look, how do you advertise or make available information about the animals that are there at any particular time?
You know, we try our best to advertise just for kind of in a general sense of our pets on our website. We have a Facebook site.
Mm-hmm.
On our Facebook site, we post periodic pictures of the dogs and cats that we have. We're hesitant to, you know, feature any one pet, because
sure.
It can be adopted the next day, and we don't want to build people's hopes up that they're guaranteed to get that particular dog or cat. So it's a little tricky, but we do have, you can search online for the animals that we have at the current time, but again, you just never know. It really does require people to come in to see what the adoptable pets are. During that
so is it possible, for example, for me right now to go to a particular place and find out what dogs you have.
Yes, there is a website, and that is possible. But again, it's those animals could be a dog. Time you find it
right.
online, it
sure.
could already be a dog. So it's tricky. That's why we encourage people not to just adopt right away, that they can come in periodically and find the right fit for them. You know, we obviously get a lot of animals, so we've had, in my time, many breeds that have surprised me of dogs that have come in.
Uh-huh.
I mean, purebreds that, you know, very expensive dogs come in, owner surrendered. Sometimes we don't even know why. Some of them do have some behavioral issues, but some of them are just fantastic dogs. They just, for whatever reason, their owner just didn't have the capacity to take care of them anymore. So,
sure. So the website, tell me the website address so the listeners can hear.
I'm going to have to get back to you. I don't have that at my fingertips.
Okay.
But I'd be happy to give that to you.
Okay. And so what we're talking about, though, is it, do you know whether it's accessible through the Matsuburo
It is,
webpage?
Yeah, on our website, I believe.
Okay.
It's there.
Okay.
We're currently upgrading our website, so we do have some work to do there, but it's a great site. I think the Matsuburo's website is fantastic, and you can link into our specific animal shelter website from the Burrow's website.
Okay. Okay. Well, that'll be a hint for someone, and many people know how to do that. You go to the Matsu, or you just Google Matsu, and it pops up. I've been to that site, and there's a lot of work being done. As you're saying, this is a fact of life these days, continually working to upgrade and update and so on. Did you say you also had a Facebook page?
We do, and I encourage everyone to go visit our Facebook page. It's a fairly active site. We try to get pets on there regularly that are adoptable, and we just appreciate positive comments. And so you can just Google or go to Facebook and look at Matsu Animal Shelter.
Matsu Animal Shelter. Okay, then Facebook. Well, that's a good reference. So a question I often ask people who have something of a service going on is, could have one thing to improve your life there at the center, what would that one thing be?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm actually working with the staff to identify all the sort of the wish list of what the staff, some of them have been there, you know, for 15 years,
right.
Ultimately would love to see at the facility. One thing.
What's emerging, perhaps, in, at this point as you've arrived and had a chance to see that? And I applaud the working to continually look at that and review. And we do that certainly as a radio station. We have to keep coming back and saying, okay, you can't be too complacent or sit there getting suggestions, whether it's from your visitors or from staff and so on, is always a good thing.
Yes, I think there's some value with a fresh perspective into an organization, and I've certainly been very proactive to work with the staff to improve the facility and the operations as best as we can. I think it's a really well-run facility. I think the staff works really hard. There's a mission to take the best care of the animals and help with public safety. And I think ultimately it's a very well-run facility. But like you said, there's always room for improvement. I think going back to that one thing that's near and dear to my heart and that I'm very passionate about is education. And I am going to work really hard to do some educational outreach with some of the staff that are already doing that. But it's a time limitation issue. But, you know, getting into the schools and promoting animal adoption and how to care for your animals, talking about our borough code and the leash laws and why we have those laws to protect people and animals. Getting kids to come in for school field trips, we've had a few of them, but to talk about, you know, the jobs that are provided at the shelter, if kids are interested in becoming a veterinarian or an animal chief officer, what that entails, what they do. Early education is really critical for a general understanding of animal welfare. And so I think that's one particular area of focus that I really think we could expand and improve. We are in it, but I think we can do more and certainly promote that more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have any school groups that come to visit the shelter?
We do. In fact, we just hosted the Academy School for a middle school project. They were focusing on animals, and it was a really fun first opportunity that we've hosted kids since I've been there.
Okay.
But we do have periodic schools that come in and have field trips, or they have actual projects related to the shelter or animals. So I highly encourage schools to consider utilizing the potential field trip. We also want to make ourselves available to schools if they want us to come talk. We've had several officers that have gone to schools just to discuss, you know, what they do and how important it is to keep your animal restrained and also to take good care of your animals with water and food and always to make sure that they have shelter. And so we do host several school events throughout the year.
Okay. Well, Mike Malefsky here on the morning show, and I've been talking with Kirsten, who runs the animal shelter for the borough, and we're down to the last minute or so. What have we missed anything? Is there some other message you'd like to convey to listeners?
Yes, absolutely, and thank you for the opportunity to just feature one last event that we're having. It's a new event that we've never had. This coming Saturday, December 5th, from 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock, we're having our first what's called progressive adoption. And we've never done this before, but other shelters in the lower 48 have done this, and they've been relatively successful. All of our adoptable animals will be in some fashion almost like a silent auction. So you basically name your price on an animal. And we solicit charitable contributions. It's the Christmas holidays coming up soon. We have more needs than we can meet for animals, toys and treats and various things that keep them occupied and happy at the shelter. So we are first soliciting charitable contributions on Saturday, but we're also having this progressive adoption where you name your price for any animals that are adoptable.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. And that starts at what time?
It starts at 12 and ends at 4.
Okay.
We actually open at 11, so if people want to come in and learn and look at animals prior to or to the start of the event, we encourage them. ABC Fox National is also going to be doing some promotion for us, and they have a National Adoption Day December event, and so they are featuring our facility and encouraging people to adopt from the animal shelter.
Oh, okay. Might be able to get out for that.
That'd be great.
All right. Well, thank you, Kirsten. Have
yeah,
a good day.
So
it's still dark, but getting light. And we'll hope to see you on at the shelter.
Okay. Thanks so much. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Well, I hope that was helpful in giving people information about the...